Live intro. Composition by Dan, who is not with us this evening. Yeah, it's not that he's no longer with
us. He makes really nice music.
Yeah, it's just that he's not with us this weekend. Or no, weekend, this week. He's on a vacation.
Oh, yeah.
So he's not here. So Jesse and I,
It's sans Dan.
Yes, it's not.
Sans Dan.
It's got Jesse and
Patrick.
It does
not have Dan.
It does not have Dan.
He went to North Kakalaki.
Which is a local mid-Atlantic term for the great state of North Carolina.
I think he visited the graves of my ancestors.
He did. All right, so Dan.
Never mind all that.
Dan's not here, and that music we just played, composed by Dan, if you haven't noticed yet, we've been using that particular tune he made as our opening for bonus episodes. Oh, I thought Jesse might have a response to that. Jesse,
no. I was standing by.
Well, you were like stroking your chin, and you're all like contemplating. Normally,
I was planning ahead.
Well, the problem is you're used to like aggravating Dan with your repeating. I was gonna say bonus episodes, and you'd be all like bonus.
Right. I'm behaving myself this time because Dan's not here to instigate me.
is that how
he gets me going.
I just like the phrase instigate me
and then I instigate him.
Definitely putting the agency on Dan. But though Dan is not here, and we decided, since Dan's algorithm has told us the next episode that we will be discussing is Deep Space Nine's Fascination. And we definitely did not want to have that discussion without Dan, because Dan's going to enjoy that episode. He's going to find all sorts of excellent sound clips for us. It's a Waxana Troy episode.
We have to do we have to do an abnormal episode without Dan.
Yes, so that's
if,
what...
If there's no Dan, we have to improvise.
Exactly. And so this week, Jesse and I, since we did want to provide you some form of content. we should have a discussion, something we've talked about in the past, here and there, but we thought, hey, why don't we have a more focused discussion about beverages, and particularly alcoholic beverages.
Are we going to talk about food too?
Or, the analogs, you got your synthahol, you got your alcohol.
Like Romulan ale.
There's cocktails, there's mocktails. There's a lot of stuff in the Star Trek universe that centers on beverages. And of course we can talk about
Ten Forward. There's a lot of Ten Forward.
Exactly. Ten Forward's a bar.
There's a lot of Guinan.
Guinan's a
drinks.
Bartender, right? She's good at making like the super starburst.
Solving problems.
Exactly. Like
saving the universe.
Like a proper bartender does.
Heavens, man.
That's right. We're going to talk about that a little bit because one thing we were thinking about was how often Star Trek episodes will utilize alcohol in a way that's just very similar to all sorts of certainly Western storytelling, where you might be doing a toast, or somebody needs to be slightly inebriated.
The Navy
plot.
Likes to drink.
And do they? Does that where cite your reference, Jesse?
I guess the military in general likes to like have drinks,
but the Navy in particular.
Because Starfleet is sort of like modeled after like the Navy, sort of.
It is very Navy-ish.
Pseudo military, yeah. Supposedly.
Does the Air Force drink? I bet you all the
I think they used to.
All the other branches. And please,
the Air Force is all crazy Christian now, so they might they might not drink so much. Please. But I think like traditionally like military people like to, you know, they like to have some drinks.
Absolutely. Or during
cuz you might die.
During Vietnam, you can smoke weed through your rifle.
That was, right, they did that shit. They,
that was a good metaphor.
They were doing heroin.
That'll be a future episode.
Through your veins.
But yeah, you know, this is not uncommon in storytelling to have often two men drinking whiskey and having a discussion, or people making an agreement or having negotiations over cocktails of some sort.
It's pretty common, yeah.
And in sci-fi generally, and Star Trek in particular, Star Trek has had, over the course of the long history of the franchise, many opportunities from TOS onward to invent all sorts of alien concoctions.
In Star Trek VI, they got together and had drinks, and like everything went wrong.
Yeah, well, they were drinking lots of Romulan ale.
Like the infamous Romulan ale. That's one thing for TOS where it's always like.
Commander Chang was all like, "We need breathing room," which was a Hitler quote.
Star
Trek VI is
Lebensraum.
Star Trek VI is great. Although, side note, we did discuss Star Trek VI on this podcast eons ago,
long ago.
That was the
first movie we covered.
It was the first movie we covered. I think it was like a 2.5 hour podcast.
Yeah.
We figured out how to do things a little bit better since then. I think it was still an interesting discussion, but I remember being frustrated because they're like in our marketing when we were putting it on, I think it was on YouTube. Part of the marketing was using Chekhov's line from Star Trek VI, "Guess who's coming to dinner?"
Oh,
now that line it's a reference to a movie, right?
Right.
That was about a black man being invited.
With that guy.
Yes, with that guy.
That actor fellow.
Yes, that actor fellow.
I forget his name because I'm an asshole.
And I'm not going to tell you. Even though it's today Juneteenth.
When we're
recording.
I think it used to be.
All right. Well, I'm going to let.
It still is.
I'm going to let Jesse twist in the wind there because he will.
Is it Poitier?
It is Sidney Poitier.
Thank you. Okay. I saved myself. And it's still Juneteenth. America.
Yes. So here's the thing. That is an extremely famous movie and considered an important movie in terms of media as a tool for overcoming racism, teaching lessons to a broader audience that having a black person in your home is not a bad thing. A human is a human. And so guess who's coming to dinner? There's that phrase. Chekhov is riffing on that phrase, right? So in Star Trek VI,
it's a good-natured riff.
Although they are intending to kind of convey a little bit of anti-Klingon racism.
Well, it's Klingon, yeah.
You know, But the problem is when I use that phrase in the marketing, YouTube banned it. They're like, "You're being racist." And I was like, no, like that's the opposite. But anyway. That has not much to do with Star Trek alcohol, other than they were all drinking Romulan ale.
Yeah.
And McCoy is all like, "Powerful stuff, that Romulan."
And that Klingon blood was all like blooming out. And like,
yeah, it was purple.
Purple.
That was because they didn't,
purple blobs all blooping out in like 0G.
The MPAA. And they were like, you can't have red blood.
Red blood.
Red Klingon blood. Anyway.
Vulcans had green blood.
Alcohol, we're going to talk about all sorts of stuff. We're going to talk about Canar. We're going to talk about Saurian brandy. We're going to talk about, what's that stuff that Clint Howard, Cragna! Remember that when Clint Howard was all like, "Would you like some Cragna?"
With like the carbamite?
Yeah, was that a carbamite maneuver?
Carbamite?
That might have been the carbamite maneuver. But, we're gonna go over all of that. But we thought it might make sense to preface the conversation with a little context about Jesse and I, what our experience with relationship with alcoholic beverages, beverages maybe in general. Jesse is famous for having some odd and peculiar tastes.
Oh, really?
He don't like mayonnaise.
I don't like mayonnaise.
You don't like mustard.
No.
I mean, most condiments you don't like. Yeah. But you like curry. You're a curry fella.
Yes.
Right? You like curry.
Curry.
What's some
spicy
other stuff?
Spicy things.
You like spicy things. You like okra.
Okra, yes.
You like collard greens.
Kale.
You
like collard greens. Mustard greens.
Mustard greens, but not mustard. You don't like mustard?
I don't like mustard, really. But, I mean, if you put... I mean, mustard can be an ingredient in things.
Well, that's like your deal with eggs, right?
Right. Eggs are part of things. eggs are part of, you know, like... I mean, you can make...
Can we make a t-shirt that just has Jesse saying eggs are part of things?
I mean, you don't have to put eggs in bread, but you can put eggs in bread. Eggs are part of cake and cookies. They can be.
You have no problems and no... You're not like Jason Mantzoukas, who has a deathly allergy.
I don't have allergies.
You just don't like an egg.
I don't eat eggs as eggs.
If it's a component of... If it's an ingredient, no worries, but you just don't like eggs. However, you do like to... hover around people who are cooking eggs and stare at the eggs.
It's a weird texture and it cooks up all funny.
Jesse and I, our families travel together a lot. We travel well. And his wife and I often, I think she gets very excited because I like eggs and she likes eggs. And she's like, oh, this is great. Jesse can go out and he can go get some mustard greens and you guys can eat some fucking eggs.
I can actually cook eggs. I've cooked eggs for one of my daughters and she was like, these are really yummy.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I
don't eat them, but I can make a scrambled egg.
I'm like that with a few cocktails. I don't like margaritas. To get into the context of where our tastes lie. I don't hate them. I'm just that's not what I'm going to order. But I can make a pretty good margarita. Not that that's a fucking accomplishment, of course.
It's a basic kind of combo.
Yeah.
Most cocktails are just like, you know, just follow a recipe.
The thing you ever, I mean, you do notice that. I mean, look, maybe you don't get a bad cocktail, but there's definitely people who don't do it properly or whatever. I don't know. It's nice when you get a good cocktail.
Well, yeah. I mean, you were talking about going someplace to some city we won't name, and they were like, we don't know how to make that, even though it was on the menu.
Why do you not want to name the city?
Oh, I don't know. I was just trying to be fair. It was Baltimore.
It was a city.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't.
Okay, it was a city in Maryland that was not Annapolis.
We don't
Annapolis.
Even have to say it has to be Maryland. It's just, you know, Baltimore. It was just, you know, I wasn't there, but Patrick had a bad time.
No, it was a good, the time was good. It was just frustrating bars were closing at 8 o'clock on a Friday.
It was very strange. It
was
peculiar.
It was a peculiar thing.
Like it was a small town and not Baltimore.
So, to give an example, I'm not somebody who's eager to spend massive amounts of money to buy some booze. It is annoying, right? For example, when you go to a sports, I was about to say a sports show, shows you how much into sports
a
I am.
Sports show.
When you go to one of these
shows,
one of these athletic gags that they do, or
athletic,
you know, a concert or something. It's annoying when you buy a can of some like fucking Miller Lite or something, and it costs you like $10 or $15. Yeah. That sucks. On the other hand, I also have been places. I was at a bar in Manhattan where I got an espresso martini. I was annoyed initially because on the menu, it was very clear the espresso martini was like $21. And I was like, Jesus Christ, am I going to sit here and I'm going to pay $21 for an espresso fucking martini?
Well, it's New York.
Well, exactly. And I was like, well, I guess I fucking have no choice.
What's in an espresso martini?
It's like an espresso and then I think martini.
Like, what? Vodka, vermouth?
Vodka, coffee liqueur, and they usually put...
Coffee liqueur.
And they put like fucking three coffee beans on top.
Oh,
it's always three. I don't know.
There's no vermouth.
But the long and the short of it is I ordered this 21...
It's just coffee and vodka?
$21 vodka martini. I was aggravated.
What kind of vodka was it?
Well, I couldn't tell you.
Was it like high dollar vodka?
Well,
it was just New York City.
That's the thing is I went into this being sort of annoyed and aggravated, but I was also there to celebrate birthday fun. So yeah, it was like, yeah, why yeah. not? I wasn't trying to be a dickhead about it. So it's not like it was bothering me all that much.
No.
But still, there was just like $21. Okay. I order it. The guy makes it all goofy and fancy in front of me, and he's got like beards, and he's got like chainmail in his beards and stuff. And I'm like, Jesus Christ! And then he puts the drink down in front of me. I take a sip, and I'm like,
lit matches.
Yeah, I take a sip, and I'm like, this is absolutely worth $21, which I was not expecting because I was like, I am perfectly happy to pay $21 for what I just sipped. It was really good. But yeah, so I like a cocktail. I like a fun cocktail. I don't like a martini.
Martini is like a historical sort of drink.
Yeah, like, I mean, a martini is fine.
It's come out of style or something.
Yeah, it's the kind of a lot of those cocktails were invented to just cover up the
people
taste
drink
of
like Cosmos
gin.
Instead of martinis or something.
Yeah, I there was a brief period of time where I used to drink Cosmos because I was like, look how trendy and cool I'm being. I'm drinking Cosmos, and then somebody pointed out that they're not that tasty. I was like, you know, good point.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's not, that's not super trendy.
They're not bad. They're not like bad, but yeah. I always liked, I like tropical drinks, you know?
Yeah.
I'm into
nice fruity flavors are good.
Mai Tai.
If you get like some nice rum from like Cuba or something, it's like really nice.
Good
it's
rum. Good. What are some good rums? A Mai Tai, Dark and Stormy.
Mai Tai is good, yeah.
I like a Dark and Stormy, which
if you go to Hawaii,
Ginger beer is a dark and stormy with you know, good rum in it.
You get a nice ginger beer.
Pina colada, I'm a fan of. You know, and it was funny because, you know, it's one of those things when, you know, you're like in college or whatever, and a bunch of dudes are all like, "Why are you drinking? You're drinking Cosmos and pina coladas?" And I was like, "I don't, you're drinking a Budweiser." Yeah. And that's fine. If you're into that, that's totally cool. But yeah, you're literally like,
are you
drinking,
really into that? Maybe you need to re-examine.
You're drinking 12 Budweisers.
12 of them.
Right? Crazy. But I think, Jesse, you and I probably have most in common. We're brown liquor fans.
Yeah.
We like the
whiskeys.
Yeah, the various ones.
Usually the more British kind, but I used to be more like a bourbon guy.
Well, you mean
but,
UK or British? Because Irish.
I mean,
right?
UK or Irish.
Do you like Northern Irish? Wait, is there a separation between Northern Irish?
There's different
and proper Irish.
There's some that just happen to be Northern Irish, but it's all kind of Irish. I mean, it's all Irish whiskey. It's all, you know, it's a similar style.
Is Bushmills one of your go-tos?
Yeah, Bushmills or Jameson. Yeah. Or
you like Redbreast?
Tullamore Dew.
Oh, Tullamore Dew is that's a good one.
There's that one that's like, I forget.
Leprechaun.
Leprechaun.
Yeah. I mean, I apologize for saying it. I recognize it's offensive.
There was one that was like, it was like an Irish whiskey, but it was like extra peaty. I forget what it was called. It was something with a C. You got it for me like as a gift one time. Yeah. That was a nice one.
Did it come with, like, was it one of those ones that guarantees that every bottle has a chunk of bog body in it?
Bog body.
Just like some bog body?
Yeah.
It was like a fingernail or something?
Some kind of, you know, Iron Age bog body. Yeah,
some like red-haired girl's eyeball. Like floating around in there. Anyway, I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I like an Irish style whiskey, or I mean, but like, you know, it's like, you know, Scotch is good too. It's just, it's a different thing.
I tend to lean more towards the Scotches.
I do like a lot of the Scotches. Yeah.
Did you say Scotches or Scotch juice?
Scotches.
Okay. Both are acceptable.
But,
answers.
You know, I when I was started drinking, you know, liquor or whatever, I was like drinking bourbon first. Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes like Jameson. But you know, and bourbon is like really kind of thick and sweet. And I'm not so into it anymore. But like nice bourbons, I'll still drink them if I'm in the mood.
I used to like bourbons.
But I really like, I dig like a rye more.
I discovered rye, yeah. I like bourbons, but I, you know, like Maker's Mark or something.
Yeah. Like that kind of bourbon.
But I don't, yeah. I,
like the time we went to that bar and they had like the Knob Creek rye.
Yes.
And I was like, we should get that.
Yes.
And like we all got that and it was solid.
Discovering rye whiskey.
We drank a whole lot.
Was a, not a healthy thing perhaps, but.
But a tasty thing.
Yeah. I do really appreciate a rye. It's difficult to articulate.
It's like a rough bourbon.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
I mean, like Crown Royal is supposed to be a rye, but Crown Royal is like super smooth and refined. Like,
and it's good.
Like the Canadian rye whiskey is like a refined whiskey.
Wasn't
like
there? There was a long time where
American rye whiskey is like all rough.
You were a Crown Royal fella for.
I was into getting
good,
Crown Royal
for a good long period. I think. Yeah. Yeah,
I was every now and then I'd get some. Yeah.
There, you know, and we'd love to hear from you all, whether you are a drinker, a teetotaler, or a dabbler here and there. You know, what your thoughts, what your favorites are, particularly when you are at you know, various stages of your life. Particularly when you're younger and are forming your nascent adult identity, certainly in America, but in the United States, but
anywhere in the world,
I think in many places in the world, at least those places where alcohol is
anywhere there's young people,
relatively common, often.
So not the North Pole.
Often alcohol. And your choice of alcohol and the degree to which you consume alcohol will factor into your identity formation, which is something I find really, really fascinating. And I think part of it is because I grew up with my mom is an immigrant.
She's European.
Yeah, she's European. And so she was always trying to force me to take sips of like champagne and beer and wine. Like even when I was a little kid, it was just considered normal. I wasn't a big fan of it, but the result was when I went to college, I knew a bunch of people who had never really had a drink or had very limited access to drinks because, you know, they followed the rules, their families followed the rules,
parents are Puritans.
And then, you know, they're still not 21 in the U.S. In the United States, you have to be 21 to drink. So they're 18. They get to college. They have all this freedom. And they're like, I'm going to fucking drink whatever. And then they get into they get into trouble because they're like going too far. I've definitely had
smoke weed instead.
Well, precisely. And we'll talk a little bit about Star Trek and and its different attitude between alcohol, real or invented alcohol, and sinister herbs. But maybe we'll talk about that in the next break. But for the, you know, this context setting, this stage setting, in college, I enjoyed drinking, but I was the asshole who brought my own little six pack of, because I didn't really like the Miller Lite or Michelob or the Natty Bow, all that cheap beer.
Ice House.
I was a young beer snob because
Your mom's from Europe.
I didn't think alcohol was all that special because it was never kept from me, right? So it wasn't like some secret, mysterious thing. So I think that was helpful to me. The other thing, you know what you need, Jesse? You need a drink.
You think so?
Or
tissue,
or like an Allegra. But in addition
I took one this morning.
In addition to alcohol not being a kind of particularly special thing in my house, even though it was around, I also was trained on. We're keeping all this in, Jesse. Don't worry,
Mr. Sneezy.
Yeah. Dan will write in an email and complain about how many times you had to. Sneeze on this episode. But I became a beer snob in the sense that when I did start drinking beer, I got used to drinking, you know, beer in Munich and in Salzburg and Vienna.
Nice beer.
And I mean, you can get great beer in the US. But
certainly
I enjoyed the intoxication. It wasn't that I didn't enjoy that, but I also wanted to get to that intoxicated point with something that I had I liked. I was not that into being right. like, this thing is gross, but it's going to get me high, which alcohol does. If I would just be the one who wouldn't drink if there was just gross beer that I didn't want to drink there. That being said, I totally would drink Boone's Farm strawberry wine. I would drink Hurricane Mad 40s. Dog. Like I did, I like the flavor of Hurricane. Hurricane is like a crazy high percentage, very cheap alcohol. So this is not a snobbery in terms of import or price, on my part. I don't think there were plenty of, horrible, gross alcohol, cheap alcohols that I would also consume. And then IPA, when IPAs came around, that kind of became my thing. Then now I'm like, I like an IPA even better than a German beer. But how about you, Jesse?
I mean, it's easier to get an IPA than like a nice German beer. Like you can get a few. It depends on like the store you go to.
Yeah.
If you go to if you go to the German store, you can get some stuff. If you go to like Wegmans has a bunch of shit.
But it's imported too. It's kind of like
it's expensive. Kinda,
and I've never had the.
You can get like Stiegel at Wegmans, but it's pricey.
Stiegel beer is a great Austrian beer, but you know I'm sure you've heard so many people talk about how. Guinness in Ireland, having an actual Guinness when you're in Ireland is
poured into a glass
is a different experience. And I believe it. I'm sad that I have not yet experienced that. I like Guinness fine.
We should go to Ireland.
Let's do that. Write in at feedback@discussstartrek.com if you want to give us lots of
A little bit of money.
Give us money.
Not that much money.
A travel stipend.
Not too far.
I like Guinness, but I don't,
it's not my favorite.
But like people, the thing problem with like Guinness is
it's
people,
nice.
People would go out and they'd be like, let's get trashed at the Irish bar and have 10 Guinnesses, Guinness. I don't know what the plural is.
Guinness.
But like, it's a thick beer. You just have one.
And what's that stuff? Like people got into having some kind of like not. Like even less alcohol in the Guinness, like some kind of zero alcohol.
That's
like mixing it with what the fuck happened with that shit?
And all sorts of weird stuff comes.
Weirdos,
total weirdos. Although, a quick side note: very, very good friend of ours, who's a brilliant person, super kind, one of the kindest people I know. Absolutely, we were in an Irish bar. And he went up to the Irish bartender, who was a person from Ireland, an actual Irish person, and our friend ordered an Irish car bomb.
Yeah, he's actually like a really good guy.
He's a good guy. But so to clarify, an Irish car bomb is it's similar to like a Boilermaker or some of these other drinks. An Irish car bomb is where you get a pint of Guinness, and then you get a shot glass full of Bailey's Irish liquor, and you drop it
like the creamy stuff.
Yeah, you drop it into the Guinness, and then you have to chug the Guinness quick enough because
before it like curdles.
It curdles. the Bailey's will curdle into a disgusting texture. It's horrifying. So
monstrously racist drink.
Look, it's a fun drink. It's a challenge. It's one of those ridiculous things you do when you're young. Do not order an Irish car bomb.
Or like a black and tan.
Particularly in an Irish Republic, Catholic Irish bar, because, you know, the troubles, you know. And if you don't know about the troubles, young folks.
Yeah, just catch up.
Yeah, go to Wikipedia and type in the troubles. And by the way, they might be back.
They're coming back.
Yeah. But the point is, my friend orders an Irish car bomb, and the bartender says, "We don't serve those here." And my friend, confused, was like, "Oh, okay. Well, then, can I have 2 pints of Guinness and 2 shots of Bailey's?" and the bartender ruefully provided him with the ingredients for 2 Irish car bombs, so long as they were not called such.
You're also not supposed to order a black and tan.
Yeah, definitely don't do that. Yeah. All right, well, it's about time for a break, so we're going to do that. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to get into some of the more popular Star Trek drinks. We're going to talk about what we think they're like, they're cool, I mean, come on, guys. This is a bonus episode.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What the fuck are you even?
What are you?
I hear you.
Yeah, you're listening.
I hear you.
You listen because you want to.
I hear you on the other side being like, what is this? Dan's not here. What the fuck are we supposed to do? Come on. Oh, by the way, before we go to the break, Jesse and I are behaving ourselves pretty well. I've got a pint.
There's not a lot of strife.
I've got a pint of a pernicious IPA. I'm drinking it out of my USS Cerritos.
Oh, that's tight.
Official British style pint glass.
Yeah, that's nice.
That has a Star Trek Delta. It says Cerritos, but the Delta has one of those spikes that has two olives, like in a martini, is into the Delta. It's a clever little logo.
Far out.
Yeah, pretty cool. What do you got going on over there? Have you opened any of your alcoholic beverages, Jesse? You're sipping on some.
Well, I had a little bit of your whiskey in a Discovery whiskey glass.
Ah, that's right. Because Dan purchased me for Christmas or birthday 1 year a set of four Scotch tumblers, each engraved with various Star Trek ships. Jesse is enjoying the Glenlivet Caribbean Reserve.
There's like a D.
D's nuts.
There's a Voyager.
You're talking about the glasses.
And there's like a TOS.
There's a Deep Space Nine one too, I think.
Oh yeah, there might be. Yeah, there's
a Deep Space Nine. There's a TOS Enterprise. There's an Enterprise D, and then the fourth one is the Discovery.
Oh, okay. Maybe there's not a Voyager.
Yeah, or maybe you got to like pay extra for that. All right.
May I have a wee bit more of your
whiskey? Sure. We don't serve those. Well, this is Scotch, so you can have as much of that as you like. Okay. So we will be right back. Dan's not. There's no clip for Dan to play, so and we're back with no sound effects. We have poo poo. Is that a sound effect if I just say poo poo?
I'm not jokingly.
Is that an onomatopoeia? Poo poo.
Yeah, it is.
Does that sound like
sort of
when you poo? Does your butt go poo poo?
No, it doesn't. But I mean, it's like.
But you get the idea.
It's like poetically
onomatopoeia. All right, welcome back to our discussion. Jesse and I are having an ad hoc bonus discussion about alcohol in Star Trek and real life. And not just alcohol, you know, drinks in general. It's just that the alcoholic beverage is kind of, there's more of the flavor and fun around that.
There are some other beverages in alcohol, in Star Trek.
Ractigino and stuff.
Some sort of coffee beverage.
Yeah, we can definitely talk about some of that. I did want to maybe iterate and not reiterate, because I don't think I stated it fully.
Pre-iterate?
At the beginning of the show, and I had intended to do so, I may have implied this. While we are talking about drinks, we're talking about alcohol, we may be talking a little bit about cannabis and some other things. We are totally cool with, like, if you're don't drink, if you're anti-drinking,
that's fine.
That's not only fine.
Whatever works for you.
Probably good. Like alcohol in particular.
Well, yeah, alcohol is not really good for you.
Look, I enjoy alcohol to a limited degree.
You're supposed to just, you know, keep it nice.
Yeah.
Keep it moderate.
Alcohol is insidious because it is one of, if not the most dangerous of the drugs available. And it is a drug. It's always been a personal frustration that we don't treat it certainly not in the U.S. It's not treated as a drug like cannabis or cocaine or heroin or PCP
drugs.
Or MDMA
PCP.
Or AMT
Heyron.
Or DMT or DXM or, Tide Pods.
Tide Pods.
Nitrous oxide.
Jiggity Janks.
Right, alcohol
should
be grouped with all of those things.
Butter in my ass. I'm sorry.
There are historical and cultural reasons why alcohol gets this special treatment of being considered a separate category from these sinister and nefarious plants that brown people smoke.
Because there was a time, okay, like... There's certain parts of history, like like your water sources aren't good and you have to drink like something that's been sort of, you know,
processed,
cured and processed. And that's like alcohol, like is the earliest thing from like from ancient times. There's some sort of for most of the globe, unless you lived in an Arctic region, you have some sort of alcoholic thing.
Jesse is
because it's like because Jesse's, it's something more sterile to drink than like some nasty water with some mosquitoes.
You've offended all of our flat earther listeners by referencing the globe. So if there are any flat earthers out there, we humbly disagree with you. But Jesse did not mean to offend you.
Flat earthers.
maybe he didn't mean to offend you. Yeah. No, it's absolutely. There are lots of practical uses for alcohol, just like there are practical uses for
like in cocaine
and
colonial
morphine
America
and all
that. That, you know, like people are living in sort of like, you know, swampy Chesapeake regions.
Yeah. Places, you know,
they have to like figure out
like,
you know,
Europeans oughtn't have been there.
Yeah.
They didn't need
they
to be
oughtn't
there.
Have been there.
But they decided to be there, so they're like, you know what? Let's have some cider. Let's have
some
low,
cider.
Some
yeah,
low
that,
alcohol
that was
beer.
That was usually the thing. Was
low,
like
low alcohol
apples
wine.
Or peaches making cider.
And of course, as an aside, I think probably many people are aware, but we do quite seriously have an international audience. So if you aren't aware, alcohol was banned in the United States for a period of 12 years via an amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
Particularly crazy.
It was a huge catastrophe. Yeah. And before that, people drank alcohol, but it tended to be fairly weak beer, fairly weak cider or wine.
Oh, they were drinking whiskey and shit.
There was whiskey, but whiskey was also often diluted or
damn,
used for medicinal purposes.
Yeah.
When prohibition happened, it turned out that, you know, if you're smuggling alcohol, beer that's 3% takes up way more barrels and transport logistics than 40 or 50% bathroom gin.
Yeah.
And so what happened is now because of the expense of smuggling this drug, alcohol, which it is, because of that, there was an incentive for the people who produced and smuggled this drug to have it in higher percentages, right? Because it's just you can transport more alcohol with less space and less weight. Now, a lot of that alcohol they made was gross, hence the beginning of cocktail culture. Prior to that, there was not much cocktail. You had to mix all that shit, all the martinis, highballs, all that business. It's because
mix it with some grenadine.
You gotta add something to this gross nonsense that some crazy
sweet
person
and sour,
made,
whatever
right?
the fuck that shit is.
And then all of a sudden, after prohibition, after they re-legalize alcohol, now alcohol's an even bigger problem because people have gotten a taste for very potent stuff.
Yeah.
They aren't watering down their wine anymore. They're adding extra alcohol to the beer.
Right. Like a Manhattan. What the fuck is that shit?
Yeah. Oh, my favorite. For a while, my dad was drinking Pushkins. Have you ever heard of a Pushkin?
No. What is that?
All right. So like,
it's like a Rasputin.
So, well, my dad, he was into martinis, and then I thought he was drinking a martini, but it didn't have an olive. It was a martini glass, and it just, you know, it just looked like a cherry floating in there. And I was like, "What's that?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm into Pushkins now."
Oh fuck!
I was like, "I never heard of that. What's a Pushkin?" He's like, "It's a cocktail." I was like, "I get that, Dad." But like, what are the components of the cocktail?
Fucking shit.
Well, I understood his hesitation because he explained to me, and again, he referred to this as a cocktail. A Pushkin, apparently, at least according to my dad, is just you get a martini glass, you fill it with vodka, and you put a cherry in that. And that is a quote unquote cocktail called a Pushkin, right? Okay, Dad.
Right. It's some Russian foolishness.
Like, you didn't even eat the cherry. He was like, I don't want that.
No, I'm just drinking the vodka.
Anyway. But yes, so that's a long way of saying edic, infinite diversity in all combinations, whatever you're into or not into, or indeed opposed to. That's cool.
Was it like a, did he get like a cherry out of like a maraschino cherry? Or was it like a fresh cherry?
I think often it was a maraschino cherry until he ran out. and then he would just put fresh cherries, and then probably at one point he was like, you know what, who are we fooling?
Yeah, you know? And he just filled it with vodka.
And by the way, he wasn't a boozer. He would have like one at night after work or whatever. But
right to bed.
I thought it was rather uncreative. If you're going to call something a cocktail, there should be some fucking process to it.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway. Russians. Back to the old Star Trek, slightly Star Trek discussion of,
B'Elanna's on it.
Alcohol. B'Elanna is definitely on it.
Where would I stay?
We do want to, you know, discuss synthahol, whatever you want to call it. But first I did... I did want to go over just a couple of the big ones, that are famous.
Yeah.
We already mentioned Romulan Ale.
Right. That's a prominent one.
It is. If I recall correctly, first introduced in Star Trek II.
Yeah.
When McCoy comes over.
It's contraband.
Yeah. McCoy brings it over to Kirk when Kirk's being all sad in his really cool apartment. Yeah. And McCoy's being a good friend.
Nice apartment.
McCoy's doing that, being a good friend by being an asshole to Kirk, maneuver in that. And that was an example where bringing Ealing.
Yeah, he had an awesome outfit on.
He did. Well, McCoy always did. But movie McCoy anyway. But the Romulan Ale scene in Star Trek II is a good example of what I think we see a lot, which is here is the forbidden fruit.
Yeah,
and
Romulus.
We're going to use this as a symbol for co-transgression, yeah. Or
somebody smuggled that shit into the Federation.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, it's almost like, it can be like a... like a gang initiation, and I don't mean that I don't want to use that term lightly. It can be one of those things where you do a shared transgression to bring you closer together, and
right.
Drinking something,
team building,
drinking something that's either illegal, or I should actually say consuming something, because that's where, you know, other things can come in, but drinking the Romulan ale, which is illegal, or, you know, it could just be something that's strong or dangerous, whatever you want to call it. That's a real good filmic storytelling way to convey closeness or whatever. And I think that scene's a good example of that. And they repeat it in Star Trek VI, which we already referenced by... serving it to the Klingons. Because
right. At that point, you just have it like on your ship.
Yeah. It didn't. Yeah. It was a classic. It was kind of like, I guess it was kind of like weed where,
yeah.
Where
it's like, hey, you got some of that rum in
it's hand. Illegal, but it's everywhere.
Hey. You holding?
So Romulan ale, that's a fun one. It's also funny because it's, you know, they say Romulan ale, but it doesn't look like ale. It looks like
ale would be. I mean,
what was that horrible?
It's more like liquor than ale.
Yeah. What was that? What was it called? Like not Mystique or something. There was some blue. It wasn't blue Curacao or whatever. This was. It was some
like a TNG Jinx.
No. This was something they were marketing in like the early 2000s.
Oh.
I forget. It was not good.
Zima.
No. It wasn't Zima. It is funny though that Zima just disappears. Zima was brewed. I think that's what it confused people.
It was
people.
A malt.
Yeah. Because they call it a malt beverage. That's fucking beer. That's like,
yeah.
It's just beer, but it's clear. And I don't know. People seem to like it, but it went away. Zima. I haven't thought about that in a while. All right.
That's old school.
It is old school. So, Romulan ale. You got the Romulan ales. It doesn't look like ale, but,
What's the Cardassian stuff?
Ah, that's next on the list here.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Canar.
See, that like reminds me of like mead or something.
Yeah, even though it's all like
it's all thick.
It's all thick and goopy. Do you like mead, Jesse? What's your view on mead?
I don't think I I've had a little bit of mead, and it's not something I want to have all the time.
Yeah.
Like maybe a little bit here and there, but like it's not like, you know, it's like it's kind of intense.
It is.
It's really just thick and weird.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. It's a funky sweet wine is what it is.
Yeah. It is.
Like a mad dog or something.
A honey wine. Yeah. I'm fascinated by mead because I'm basically right there with you in terms of my experience with it, which is it's been positive, but like with limits.
It's all about like you get it at like some kind of craft fair, yeah, or you get it at the Renaissance Festival, yeah, or something like that.
The thing I want to do with mead is one or both of these things, which is I think I haven't tried enough mead because...
Right, yeah, I don't think I have either. Yeah.
I believe I've been... informed,
because we live in America.
Yeah, I've been informed that there are many varieties, and that it's kind of like wine or marijuana.
Natalie's people, you want to try different wines. Pear. It was mead and with pear flavor.
See, that's interesting.
And it was tasty.
But the other thing I'd be keen to try is to make some mead. I bet I've heard
you could do it.
I've heard that it's not so difficult, and that homemade mead is just generally better than store bought. I don't know if that's true. I've heard that it's counterintuitive because usually the reverse is true, but there are certainly some products that the homemade is often better. For me, for example, unless it's a super high end place, I'm not interested in ordering a steak in most places.
Oh yeah. Right. You can just get it yourself.
I'm going to make a better steak at home, and I'm not a genius steak griller. If you're not paying like a fucking $100 for that steak at some stupidly ridiculous expensive place, it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
Anyway, Canard has always fascinated me because of the goopiness.
Oh, goop.
And
or what's that stuff called? Like Hippocras?
Hippocras?
It's some kind of medieval drink.
Oh. I don't know if I'm familiar with that.
It's like, okay, they talked about it a lot in Game of Thrones, like not so much the show, but actually the books. Hippocras. But it seems like it's some kind of like a mulled kind of wine or something like that.
Yeah, because there's the fortified wines.
Like a fortified mulled port, kind of wine. Port. In Portugal.
Yeah. Port, or is it from Portugal or is it from Port? Like from
a lot of port is actually from Portugal. Yeah.
Well, Portugal's a port too.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I had that experience when I went to Anchorage.
But like port wine is like a nice thick sort of wine.
You go to Anchorage, Alaska, and there's all these seagulls, and you're like, what the fuck is going on? And then you're like, oh yeah, Anchorage. A port.
There's the sea.
It's the sea. It's an ocean city. It's a great city, by the way.
Yeah, I bet it's nice and scenic.
Yeah. I mean, the city itself is somewhat like Soviet in construction, but they've got some good art. The mountains are great, and they've got...
Yeah, there's mountains.
Tons of... Alaska. Weed stores all over the place, and the people were nice, and it stayed light until... midnight, and that was cute for 2 days, and then
it was a nightmare.
And then I went... Quite mad.
I turned mad.
I went Alaska mad. But it was a great experience. But yeah, Canard, always...
the call of the wild.
I'm guessing was... I didn't look this up. I'm assuming, I think it's a safe assumption that it was introduced on Deep Space Nine. I know we had Cardassians on TNG, but I don't think we saw Canard until...
No, we just saw like...
Deep Space Nine.
Four lights or whatever.
Yeah. And DeMar, you remember DeMar?
Sort of.
Well, he was
a dude.
Legate DeMar, and
DeMar.
He worked under Gul Dukat for a while.
Right. Yeah.
DeMar actually has one of the most interesting arcs. DeMar
like Canard.
Yeah, DeMar like Canard. So DeMar's arc in Deep Space Nine, if you haven't watched it, I'm not...
Arc DeMar.
We won't spoil it here for you, but DeMar has one of the great arcs. And the thing about Deep Space Nine, which is wonderful, I know there's some memes about this, but Deep Space Nine had the main characters, and then it had side characters, and then it had side characters to the side characters.
Yeah.
And DeMar was one of those like side character to side character to side character who then ends up having one of the most impactful and interesting arcs of the whole series. But there was a period where he was wrestling with the things he was doing, and they were, you know, showing him developing an alcohol problem, but, you know, because he's Cardassian, it was a canar problem. And it was, it always made me think it was funny. It's a funny idea to think of having, you know, being an alcoholic, having a real problem with alcohol, and then picking this syrupy, gross drink to be like your drink of choice, as opposed to something that goes down a little bit easier.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Like Romulan ale.
But Canar, definitely one I've always kind of been interested in trying. Well,
there was
out.
Some kind of drink on TNG, and it was like, it was something that like lit up like a rainbow or something.
Yeah.
Like, what was that? Like you poured it into the glass and you waited a little bit and you like tapped on the glass.
Something starburst.
Some kind of starburst.
I'll find that because I've got this whole list here.
That was probably fun to drink.
Yeah. It, I mean, this
tasted
is.
Tasted like, you know, mangoes or something.
Yeah. Andorian ale, Antarian brandy. Man.
Oh, right. So Antarian much. Brandy.
Oh yeah, Bajoran. Oh, there's a well, you know.
Yeah, those Bajorans. Stuff. You gotta watch out.
Oh, Bajoran spring wine that came up a lot.
Oh,
that to me, I always figured that was going to be like, you know, maybe even though it's a spring wine, I thought maybe it was like an ice vine. Have you ever had an ice wine, Jesse?
No.
Yeah, they're not. It's not known so well here in the U.S. Think so maybe. The ice. Ice vine. I mean, I guess you could call it ice wine, but it's really ice vine.
That would be German.
It's made. It's a popular drink. Germany, Austria, Switzerland. What it is the very last harvest of grapes for the season
before winter.
Yeah, exactly. They let a certain amount of the grapes freeze, and then they. Go through the process of making the wine. And I forget all the particulars. Some very nice gentleman explained it all to me, but I was so fucked up on wine. This is the problem.
On ice vine?
Yeah. Well, you're like in a beautiful, majestic wine cellar, and this person's talking about this. He's been here for 500 right. years, and he's explaining
some,
all
like,
this stuff.
Some like big old barrels all around.
And they're just giving you all these samples, and they're like, isn't this good? You're like, yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's real good. Nice, yeah, it's good. And he's like, let me give you some facts that you're not going to remember when you're doing a podcast about it later.
Like, do you have any pretzels?
So I don't remember the details, but ice vine is made that way. But the result is... It's a concentrated, it's a sweet wine.
Sweet.
It's maybe a dessert wine. The bottles tend to be smaller, twice as expensive and half the size. It's one of those deals. And when the Bajoran spring wine.
Sweet, but not dry.
That always made me think of something like that. Kind of like a fun
right,
wine.
Right,
you like can give your five-year-old kid
spring
to
wine.
Get him to shut the fuck up, you know, in just like a pleasant cultural.
Go to sleep, goddammit.
By the way, it is true. Like in Austria, they like throughout the day, like it's just like the thickness of the beer changes, you know, like the morning beer is like real, real light and refreshing. It might be mixed with some, it might be a Radler, you know, might be mixed with some raspberry juice,
yeah.
Or grapefruit
a little
juice.
Bit of juice.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, you get your lunch beer is like a little bit more hearty, but it's nice and clean. Like, towards the end of the day,
a gold brown.
Yeah, you get some of them, get some of that thicker beer to help that schnapps go down.
Schnapps
later, and the schnapps you have to settle your stomach,
so like
and prepare
hazelnut schnapps.
Yeah, what you do is you have some beers with dinner, you have some wine, you eat a hearty dinner of some pork, fried pork ankles and some schnitzels and some spätzle and all that. And then after that, you'll have a coffee with a little schnapps. Those will help settle your stomach and prepare you to smoke cigars and have whiskey for the rest of the night.
And then you gotta walk down a mountain.
Yeah. And then you gotta go to work.
I was on vacation.
You and me both. Yeah, we were having fun. Yeah, so the Bajoran spring wine, that's another one that's fun to bring up. But we do, of course, have to mention, to me, it's like the classic. I know a lot of people probably think that the Romulan ale is the classic. For me, the classic Star Trek alcohol is one of the old school ones. It's the Saurian brandy.
Oh, Saurian brandy.
Right?
Who are the Saurians?
Well, we see the Saurians are those, like,
are they like lizard people?
Yeah, remember that fella, Linus, who was always
Discovery? Oh, Linus. I think he was a Saurian,
yeah. They're like, you know, the 60s, they weren't always so clever. The Saurians were fucking dinosaurs. But the Saurian brandy, we don't know what it tastes like, but we know it has that
It tastes like lizard spit.
It has that awesome bottle, right? The Saurian brandy bottle. It's hard to describe, you know, as a slightly curved bottle of whatever. You know, you guys know. If you're listening this far, you know you know what the Saurian brandy bottle looks
like. It's got Star Trek.
The fun part.
I'm not joking.
The fun fact. If you're in the mood, or indeed in the market for a fun fact about the Saurian brandy bottle, I'll give it to you, even though, again, probably most of you already know about this fact. And I might have the fact wrong anyway. I don't know. I've been drinking a lot of this this non-Star Trek IPA out of a Star Trek
Is it Elysian Space glass. Dust?
Yes, this is an Elysian Space Dust IPA.
That's a nice one.
That's like a very good one. No, but the Saurian brandy bottle, if I have my anecdote recalled correctly, I think it was that one, although it's probably happened to other things. The prop people were talking about how, you know, on all these shows, but particularly, you know, Star Trek, the prop job is one of the most fun jobs, because mostly what you're doing is you're looking around at stores, you're finding things either that you've been asked by the production team. They might have said, like, we need something that looks like this,
right,
or they might just be like, we need some fucking alien mugs, or you're just out
right,
and about.
Those Rectogeno mugs.
Exactly.
That was like a commuter cup from the 90s.
So
like,
it wouldn't
like
fall over.
My mom had one of those.
Yeah. And now they're hard to find.
Yeah.
Even though they're awesome. I'd love to get a Rectogeno cup. But the Saurian brandy bottle, I believe that was one of the ones where the prop people, it wasn't something they were specifically asked for. It was just that when you're working on a show, as you're going around town and digging through dumpsters and stuff, or going to antique stores, you'll see something, you'll be like, yeah, that looks something we might be able to use in the background at some point in the future. And so they got, you know, one or two, whatever, a couple of these weird looking bottles, because they looked weird and sci-fi. They used it for the Saurian brandy. But then, as it turned out, as the show went on and for decades and decades, they're like, oh, well, now we need a scene where we're going to have like 10 bottles of Saurian brandy. But the prop person's like, this is just some shit I found in, like,
right,
you know.
Yeah, like a yard sale.
It's some like weird, yeah, exactly. Some yard sale in Los Filos or something,
Los
California.
Los Filos.
So then you go from getting a prop that cost you a quarter at a yard sale to now you're getting engineers and craftsmen to figure out how to replicate this thing, and you're spending $100,000 to get this prop back, which I always think is a kind of one of those fun things about Hollywood. But Saurian brandy, great bottle. And, you know, we shouldn't neglect to mention the canard also, usually different kinds of, it wasn't always the same shape bottle, but the canard often had like a fun bottle.
Are we going to talk about blood wine?
Ooh, yeah.
That's another one.
And I know we've discussed this before, and I can't remember if there's any on-screen specifics. Dan would be better at remembering this, I think, about whether there was any blood in Blood Wine or not, or if it was just some marketing gimmick.
Right.
Do you remember? I can't recall, because
I just sort of assumed.
Yeah, we always assumed, but
because like most of what those guys...
You were talking about the Klingons?
Yes, the Klingons. Yeah. I did not say those people.
Yeah.
I said those Klingons.
Yeah. I mean, you did then later.
I did. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you're sort of revealing that you're
like,
self-reflective about your prejudice.
They eat a lot of blood. Like, there's
do they, though?
There's worms that are bloody.
I mean, they do eat the gok.
And there's, like, you know, bloody meat.
Yeah, like rare meats.
There's bloody wine.
Yeah, although...
it's just a thing.
Somebody who might argue semantics would point out that the bloody meat probably is not blood. It's probably...
No, it's just meat juice.
It's the myoglobin.
It's nice.
Myoglobin, which is...
You know, I like bloody meat. Juice.
Yeah.
I like a nice rare...
But
a bit of meat.
And again, with the caveat that they may have, perhaps in Lower Decks or somewhere else, they may have been more specific about what's in blood wine. They may have stated outright that it does not have blood or it does have blood. I can't quite recall. However,
yeah, I mean, most of that Klingon shit is probably a hoax anyway.
Well, first of all, there's that. Klingons, like Vulcans, often do not live up to their own ideals. As humans, we can say that about humans too.
Yeah. Humans are the worst.
But one bit of evidence, one argument against
evidence
about blood wine not necessarily being made out of blood is we just referenced Bajoran spring wine.
Oh yeah,
and that's not made out of springs. You don't got like little
metal springs bits
in there. You don't got that in spring. I mean, I don't think so. I never saw Kira choking back on some
You would have noticed because it's hard to choke that shit down.
Yeah. Cardassian, there's some other Cardassian drinks too. There's fish juice. I don't think that's an alcoholic drink, but
sounds nice.
They have
like fish.
Cardassian sunrise.
Cardassian sunrise.
I'm just trying to go through the list here. A Ferengi black hole.
Oh.
Eelwasser. That's funny because that's like a Ferengi German drink, Eelwasser. Because
they live on like a muddy planet. I bet there's a bunch of eels.
Yeah. Millipede juice, puree of beetle. Of course, Sluggo Cola. There was a whole thing with the Sluggo Cola, snail juice, snail snake, star duster, star drifter. No, there's all kinds of.
There was some kind of centipede creature in my house like last week. I had to smash it.
Oh no!
My cats were freaking out.
Oh, they didn't get it for you. They didn't keep it safe from it.
Yeah, they weren't into it. They were like, "What the fuck is this?"
Well, that's no.
I was like, "Okay, guys, I got it. I smashed it with my umbrella."
All right. Well. Anyway, we need to take a break.
Yes. Sorry about that.
No worries. So during the break, Jesse and I, what we'll do is we're going to see if we can look up that chlamydian starburst, whatever they call that. I was like getting Jesse a mid vape. We'll look up what that, because I want to remember what that drink was called, because that was
kind of starburst. Yeah, it involved like Troy and I don't know who else.
Ooh,
Geordi.
Talaxian champagne.
Talaxian.
What is it?
Drink anything Talaxian. Yeah, Talaxian. Space creep.
Talaxian fire nut. Oh, that's one of Neelix's weird masturbation things. That was a deleted scene. Yeah,
when Talaxian. Neelix was
like, I've had a bad case of Talaxian fire nut.
Creep juice.
All right, well, we will be right back. And we're back. And Jesse is making special sounds. Okay, now you sounded like a gremlin. Were you making
a gremlin?
What?
That's what my daughter says.
Gremlin. So it's not that you've had one too many Andorian ales here.
No, she just.
Was not a mistake.
A toddler's accent.
There is Andorian ale, not just Romulan ale. A toddler's accent.
A Saurian accent. A Saurian ale.
You're saying your daughter has a dinosaur accent. That's funny. Anyway, gremlins, they're like, yum, yum.
I know. Yeah. They can't stay up too late or something, or like they can't have like.
Yes, Jesse. The gremlins lore is that the gremlins can't stay up too late because otherwise they get grumpy.
They turn into gremlins.
Gremlins, truly two brilliant movies. Gremlins 1, brilliant for all the Gremlins 1 reasons. Gremlins 2, when I was young and ignorant and wasn't aware of the context, I was like, what the fuck is this silly shit?
It's like a lot of gross.
This is ridiculous. And then you learn the context about how much the studio wanted Joe Dante to make the sequel, and he didn't want to do it. And they said, we'll let you do whatever you want. And he was like, if you literally give me this amount of money and 100% final cut, I will do the movie. And then he did Gremlins 2 as a hilarious gag, while also being...
They have British accents, the Gremlins.
Oh, well, that one does. There's the Lady Gremlin and, they have, like, and all
spider,
that.
They're all spidery. The,
of course, Key and Peele parodied this brilliantly. Go check out that sketch if you haven't seen it. But the thing about Gremlins 2 that you don't notice when you're a dumb 12-year-old and you think you're a cinematic critic and you're like, oh, this is, Gremlins 2 is actually a surprisingly effective critique about the melding of news and information and profit making. It's an early...
From the 80s.
Pre-Fox News, predicting Fox News in some ways, predicting some interesting stuff with science.
Dag, yo.
It's a cleverer film than you think, and it's also got the Doctor in it. And he gets sexually assaulted
by the
Lady Gremlin.
No!
Yeah. I mean, no spoilers, but I think that was
in the
trailer. But, yeah. Gremlins 2, go watch it. Gremlins 1 is brilliant for other, it's a totally different film. So anyway, that's been our Gremlins Minute, a feature we're trying out here. We figured we'd try it out on a bonus episode. We'll see how well it works. And in the future, maybe there will be more Gremlins Minutes. Ones that Dan could participate in, or perhaps guests or audience members could write in
their feedback,
various thoughts about Gremlins. You might have some opinions about
set us straight.
The actors, or the puppets that they used.
Who was that guy that in the first movie? He was like an inventor.
That was the dad.
Yeah.
But then the fella.
Who was the actor?
I forget. But there's the neighbor. He was in Star Trek Deep Space Nine's Past Tense Parts 1 and 2.
Fuck.
Remember?
Oh.
That character actor who I'm super pissed at myself right now. I've had too much of this canard.
Because we've
had too much canard during the break.
We've discussed Past Tense 1 and 2.
Yes.
And the algorithm always suggests.
I do have an entire computer unit in front of me, but at the moment I'm not interested in looking up the exceedingly famous, highly talented character actor who is in a million things, including Gremlins 1. He's in a bit of Gremlins 2, and he is in Star Trek Past Tense Parts 1 and 2. Anyway, I mentioned that because there's a Star Trek connection, and Jesse and I are doing our best to keep the conversation having at least a tenuous connection to Star Trek.
Oh.
Did you look up his name?
I'm getting there.
How the fuck long does it take? I forget. Jesse's got like an iPhone 2 or something. Yeah. Is it a real phone, or did your
well, no, did your
wife just give you one of those phones to keep you occupied?
But it doesn't have the cast on here for some reason.
What are you looking it up on?
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia? You should look it up on IMDb.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, this is a fantastic podcasting, as one
knows.
He's going to keep looking that up. Yes, Gremlins. It's great. Don't know what that has to do with the Star Trek alcohol. However, again, Jesse's going to keep looking up... that actor's name, who once he says it, I'm going to be so mad at myself because I know the name. We did also during the break look up the drink that Guinan made that both Jesse and I referenced as being super cool. And that drink is called the Sumerian Sunset.
Sumerian.
According to Google's AI overview, I don't know why I used Google. Normally I use DuckDuckGo. I'm a little frustrated now that my computer seems to have tricked me into using Google. But anyway, Google says the Sumerian sunset is often requested in 10 Forward. It is an iconic Star Trek drink frequently discussed in the community. The AI paragraph, the way it's constructed this sentence, it is not clear if the community they're referring to is the fan community or the community on the Star Trek show itself or the Enterprise D. It's unclear. That is not good LLM, not good. Didn't do it well.
Past tense, I was Clint Howard.
Yes, Clint Howard's in everything. He's in every episode of Star Trek. The AI overview goes on to say, while the fictional version is vibrant and shifts color, Reddit users note it is best recreated in the real world as a grown-up tequila sunrise. I'm not 100%
grown-up tequila sunrise.
I'm not sure how to
versus a child
interpret that. Is a tequila sunrise considered a
tequila sunrise is some kind of like Don Henley song or something?
Well, yeah, I mean it's also a drink.
Is like, it? Yeah, what's in it? Tequila,
tequila and orange juice. Probably
orange juice.
Is it like a screwdriver, but with tequila in it?
That doesn't sound so bad.
You know,
I could drink that.
Speaking of screwdrivers, you remember that joke on Fawlty Towers when they got the American fella there, and the American fella orders a screwdriver.
Oh, that's right.
And Fawlty is Basil Fawlty is all like, "Is there something I can have mended for you?"
and it was like, and the orange juice was like from a can, that was an issue for the American fellow,
who was
actually Canadian.
Because they lived in California, where orange juice flows like water.
Yeah, they just juiced it up. Them.
And that actor, whose name I'm also for fucking forgetting.
Yeah, right. But he was Canadian.
Well, yeah, but he was also famously in Empire Strikes Back. And do you know the other movie he's in? Perhaps even more famously?
He's in Full Metal Jacket.
Yes, that guy in Full Metal Jacket. He's the one who's all like,
get with the program.
He's the one who looks at your helmet has a peace sign and says like, death to whatever. And then he gives that whole, the whole gag with the sports metaphor where Stanley Kubrick is making fun of the fact that in war, certainly the American military reverts to muddled and mixed metaphors, sports metaphors. Yes. To motivate their soldiers into murdering the enemy.
It's a fine film.
Of the time, yeah. It's
nice
a great
performance
movie.
From that actor.
Yeah.
I forget his name.
You forget all their names. And then there's, you know.
But he's in that great Fawlty Towers episode.
He is. He's a great actor.
I'm going to bust your ass.
I'll bust your ass, Fawlty. Anyway.
Waldorf salad.
No. Celery, apples, walnuts, grapes in a mayonnaise sauce.
What's a Waldorf? A walnut that's gone off?
I'm gonna bust your ass. Shit. I know we were supposed to do a podcast, but we got a little excited.
We did this shit.
Did I already mention? I meant to mention previously that Jesse and I once. There was another time Dan was absent, and Jesse and I covered Fairhaven and Spirit Folk.
Right,
those two episodes
with like the Voyager.
Yeah, the Voyager thing.
Holiday.
But like the gag that Jesse and I came up with at the time. This was a number of years ago. The gag we came up with is we thought, hey, we're going to do this Irish.
It was a St. Patrick's episode.
Yes, Janeway with the Irish, these two Irish episodes.
We had like the sound effects.
We had like a sound of an Irish bar. And we were like, hey, you know what the gimmick is? The gimmick is we're going to get some Irish whiskey.
We're going to get ripped.
And we're going to drink a bunch of Irish whiskey and talk about these Star Trek episodes. And it was ridiculous.
It was a nice time.
Yeah, I think we were more coherent that time than this time.
Perhaps.
Because we were sticking
to
it.
It was more focused to an episode or two.
Well, and also we were sticking to the Irish whiskey because of the gag, because we were actually drinking Irish whiskey, whereas in this case tonight, I think we
There's
may
a mix
have...
of things.
Yeah, we're talking about different things, and I think... You know, we've maybe gone a little overboard, but that's all right. We'll keep talking about.
I'm going to drink a bunch of water.
Drinking. Yeah, water's good. replicate some fucking water. Water's weird, though, because water's the only thing. Fun fact. Water minutes. New feature.
Here's our water.
Patrick's
minutes.
Water minute. Going to give a fact that, again, most of you are probably already aware of, but water is unusual in that when it takes a solid form, colloquially known as ice. In English, but when water turns into a solid, because of the nature of how the atoms bond together, quirkily, it takes up, it's less dense than liquid water, whereas normally solids are more dense than the liquid version.
It's all airy.
Yes. So it's an unusual property of water. And why is this important?
Ice is all frost.
I'll tell you why this is important when it comes to a little thing called life, whether it's life on Earth or life on Mars.
Or in space.
Or life on, you know, yes.
Gormagander.
Vulcan. Gormagander is a space whale. So here's the deal. Because ice is less dense than water, it, you know, than liquid water, it floats on the water. If you are talking about freezing methane or alcohol or carbon dioxide, any of these things, it freezes from the bottom up.
Yeah.
Now, if you want the conditions for life to form, potentially it's pretty useful to have the solid part, the frozen part on the top, creating a protective layer,
right.
And not covering any nutrients, et cetera, that may be collecting on the sea floor. So think about that next time you start making fun of water.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know what I'm saying? It's just, I'm sick of it.
I know, haters.
I don't want to get political, but you know.
Haters hating water.
If you go on Google's search for Sumerian sunset, they provide a recipe. I'm not going to read it out here because I couldn't tell you one way or the other if it's any good. And I'm not going to try it because, you know what? Unlike the one in you know, in the, when Guinan does it, there's some like magic.
Yeah, right. It all like blooms.
But the real world one is just a fucking a tequila sunrise where they apparently add like simple syrup and Campari.
That's nothing.
Yeah. I don't know.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Disappointed with
nothing
that.
Nothing at all.
Before I forget.
Duty or no duty?
No. Oh, yeah. That's right. No, there's no duty. No duty. Or
no duty.
No duties this week. But we were thinking about, you know, we talked about the Klingon blood wine.
Yep.
And you know what the Klingons like? The Klingons like to sing songs.
Yeah.
And they like
here
to
we go.
They like to do drinking songs. And so we looked up this old one of them Klingon drinking songs. So listen to this.
Ejim tave deja e. Ejim sotas gos paskral by tik
skral.
Jaj lamos jaj push. Jaj keles molo nihok chu.
Yeah,
and they smashed their heads together. Now, Jesse, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Because you are musically inclined and have formal training in music, and you make a living slinging music at people.
Sling it.
You sling music and instruments at people. What are your thoughts about the meter and the cadence that they tend to use in Star Trek for Klingon music? Because to my unsophisticated ears, music loving but unsophisticated, I've always found it interesting that they seem to put in phrases that purposefully go against what it feels like the natural rhythm would be, presumably to differentiate it from human music. But is there a musical term for that? Is that something unique to this, or are they drawing from some sort of musical tradition?
I mean, it sort of has an interesting kind of rhythmic feel, but like it's nothing out of the ordinary.
Really. Nothing out of the ordinary?
I mean, it's still pretty, sounds like a, you know, like a folk song, you know, a drinking song, a popular song.
Yeah.
We
don't really do drinking songs. I know all those sea chanties or whatever were popular, but nobody was singing them for drinking, you know? I guess people sing that the Pogues song around Christmas sometimes. You know that Pogues Christmas song?
The Pogues.
Yeah. You know? I don't know. Are there drinking songs? There's when the bar plays the closing time song. I don't think they do that anymore because of all the shootings, you know, when that song would come on.
Oh, shit.
Everyone would start shooting up.
I know.
You know.
Can you play a different song?
Either shooting their guns or shooting up heroin. That's what you do.
You've been talking to that Mike guy.
Well, that was a while ago. Now it's fentanyl. I don't think you shoot up the fentanyl. I don't know how that
Right. It's some kind of like IV or something.
These kids have all these crazy fucking drugs. Ketamine. I forgot to mention that. Anyway. Ketamine. I don't know. But
anyway,
but I should mention that when we, you know, we're looking up the Klingon song, which we just played for you there, we found a couple others that we forgot about.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. You were all like, cuz. And you were not, you're not using a slang term for, you know, sort of
for
like
cousin.
A cousin or I was just, associate.
It was a contraction of because.
Because. Yeah.
I don't know. The Klingons, they have a lot of like sort of grandiose music.
Yeah.
There's Klingon opera. There's just, you know, there's these drinking songs where it's clearly a communal sort of, mm-hmm. you know, like everybody's singing along.
And you just having none of that. You don't want to be singing with nobody. Jesse wants to sit like Aragorn in the back corner of the pub.
No, that's good. It's a positive.
Oh, you like the singing?
That's a positive part of the Klingon culture, the as far line. As I'm concerned.
I like that too. Yeah. That's like I was, you know, I'm not a church going fella, but I'd go to that church in Blues Brothers.
Yeah, right. When churches sing,
yeah,
you know, when they sing, it's like, nice. You sing about creation,
singing and dancing and having a good time and having some fellowship. However that is, yeah, and that was not
the mellowship.
That was not intended to be a reference, a callback to when I was talking about Lord of the Rings earlier,
right? But the Fellowship of the Ring.
But that's
the
all
the fellowship, the mellowship.
I know you keep saying that's the mellowship.
It's a Red Hot Chili Peppers.
What do you mean? It's a Red Hot Chili Peppers.
It's a reference to the Red Hot Chili
Peppers. Is it a song? Is it a lyric? Is it an album?
It's some kind of lyrics.
Okay, because I'm not as well versed. I enjoy the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but I'm most familiar with the two songs that Weird Al Yankovic parodied. Yeah. Except he did it in one song.
Yeah. That's really good, actually. Yeah. That's some of his best work.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great. All right. So, segue, but it's not a segue because it's still about the Klingon business. Long story short, punchline of the joke is
Toby Tug.
Here's Neelix singing some Klingon shit.
I learned some Klingon drinking songs.
Tuvok looks pissed.
I'll teach them to you. Exhumtabe deja e. Bishakso tas goes pas val by teeth. Bishakabe deja e.
Yeah, that's the scene where like they cut it off a little bit too early because then that's where Tuvok just sort of physically dismembers Neelix and the doctor has to spend
Space creep.
Doctor has to spend the whole weekend putting him back together, a la Humpty Dumpty, who we don't know whether Humpty Dumpty was an egg or a cannon. If anybody tells you that Humpty Dumpty was a cannon, we don't know that. That's a theory, okay? Come on, people.
But Neelix was a space creep.
Neelix was a space creep. But we also found this. Check this out.
Think Kapla. Think Kapla. Long live the Empire.
Think again.
Okay, so I'm overdoing it a bit. But try to get into the spirit of the occasion.
Very well. Asian tafe deja e. Eshtak so tas gos bas kral ba chi. Kempa jash la mok jash push. Josh Kales Molor Mihoch
Joe. They used a different cadence there.
Anyone? Yeah.
That was like a little bit less of a purposefully discordant
right.
cadence.
It was more void.
Yeah. Do you remember we, one of our best old buddies had a BBS, a bulletin board system, called, it was mostly, it was normally called Soul Eater. It was the Soul Eater BBS. But for a brief time, he decided he wanted to change the name. He thought Soul Eater was lame. Briefly, he thought it was lame. So he changed the name of his BBS to Welter of Discordant Sonar.
which is the definition of music.
Yeah, Welter of Discordant Sonar. Which was clever, but maybe a little too clever. So I think he went back to Soul Eater. My BBS was called the Spleen BBS. I'm a fucking jackass. And I couldn't, I was just like, I don't know. I was just like, I want to have a BBS. That's that, all I know. And
that,
I,
that other guy's way smart.
Yeah.
He went to like Jefferson.
Yeah, he's going to all good schools. Dan's BBS was called Night Rabbit. Because that's a good fucking name for a BBS, right?
Yeah, that's a good name.
It's a good name. It's slightly mysterious. Did he spell it with a K? He might have. I can't remember. But yeah. Now, Dan and I had a disagreement on preference of BBS software. And that's an argument we can discuss at a
next
later
time Dan's
date.
Here, I think.
You know, I was a tri BBS guy, is all I'm going to say. People out there, you know what we're talking about. Dan should be
people
here.
People know.
Dan should be here to defend his choices, as he's quite capable of doing. Last thing on the Klingon front was just to play a little bit of this, because I did find it to be cute. The original Klingon drinking song that you heard with Worf, and he's, you know, hanging out with some old Klingon fella. Some people, Bunny Lord Music has created this remix that adds a significant amount of production. The music's pretty groovy. I highly recommend you go check it out. You can just look up Klingon Drinking Song, Extended Remastered, or Bunny Lord Music, and you can listen to that song. The video is fine, but the song is great. It's not my place to critique people's videos, because I'm not making any videos.
Oh shit,
I'm making podcasts.
Yeah, right,
of a sort. And
a certain sort of podcasts.
And you know, there's a certain liberation to doing a bonus podcast.
Yeah.
Though there is still
a
responsibility.
It's free form.
Yeah, but there's still a responsibility to not completely disrespect the listener.
Well, I think we did a pretty good job.
I think we've done a pretty good job, but not 100%, not 100% disrespecting the listener. We provided a few fun facts about like music and history. Oh, check this out. I'm looking at the list of alcoholic beverages in Star Trek. There's an Aldebaran depth charge.
Oh,
that sounds fun. Aldebaran whiskey, Aldebaran wine. Oh man, there's so many.
From Aldebaran.
Ganymede green.
No.
Gavaline tea. Gin. I just like gin.
Gorilla glue.
Gin and tonic. Gorilla glue. Yeah, Gorilla glue was a strain of marijuana.
Yeah.
And they had to, even though, you know, nobody really kind of like owns strains, they had to stop using it because Gorilla glue is also a brand of glue.
Right. Yeah.
And the glue people said, hey, weed people, don't confuse weed for glue. That could cause all sorts of troubles. So now I think they call the weed GG. So if you want Gorilla glue, order the GG. Arcturian Fizz. Argelian 9-layer cocktail. Bajoran Fizz. Root beer.
Root beer. I had that.
Bavarian wine. Why? Bavarian wine. A jipper. I wanted to talk about jippers.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
What's the deal with jippers?
All right. That could be a
sipping
whole...
Sipping jippers on a beach somewhere.
That could be a whole podcast in and of itself.
Sipping jippers?
So, all right. Look, we're almost done with the podcast, but it is important that folks who have not seen the Star Trek short treks, specifically the short trek, I believe it's called The Escape Artist... and it is probably on Paramount Plus. You can definitely pirate it, or maybe it's on YouTube. I don't know. It's associated Nobody often knows. With, I think it's often associated with the second season of Star Trek Discovery, maybe. It might be under special features. I don't know.
Maybe the first season.
Whatever you need to do to watch this, including you can email us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com and we can help you out.
Yeah.
So we can help counsel you.
How I
you
can watch this fucking
how
shit.
You can how you can watch this
because, help us out, bitches.
Because this Star Trek Short Trek is fantastic Star Trek. Fantastic acting. You got Harry Mudd. You got a clever little tail.
It's Rainn Wilson.
It's short, hence the name Short Treks.
Short.
Adds to the lore. It's great. The relevance to this particular bonus episode of It's Got Star Trek is that there is a particular reference to Harry Mudd having preferred to be quote unquote sipping jippers on a beach somewhere. Now, from the context of this line, and when you watch this short trek, The Escape Artist, you'll understand more clearly.
Sipping jippers on the beach.
I mean, you can probably understand perfectly well right now, is my opinion. But in the event that you don't, when you watch it, you'll understand the context. That he's referring to a drink and specifically an alcoholic drink.
Jibbers.
You might be
a jipper.
You might be on a beach. You might be drinking a Mai Tai or a Hurricane. Although I always found it a little offensive to order a Hurricane in Florida. Hurricane. Like you're down in Florida.
That's the only place you can order a Hurricane.
Yeah, and then like you're like, are you cool with this? You know, I think a comedian.
What's in a Hurricane?
I don't know, like rum and some other shit. Yeah, it's good though. Some I can't remember. I apologize to the comedian. Some comedian made the joke about how a hurricane ordering a hurricane in Miami is like if the Manhattan had a drink called like the September 11th or something.
Yeah, right.
I'll look that up. Maybe I'll put that in the show notes. Whoever made that joke, although it's a fairly obvious joke, maybe everyone made that joke.
I made that joke.
No, you did not make that joke.
No,
what are you
I
talking
didn't.
About? But he is talking about sipping jippers on the beach somewhere.
Somewhere.
You could say sipping Mai Tais on the beach somewhere.
Sipping, Mai Tais is good.
Sipping pina coladas on the beach somewhere.
Nah,
sipping hurricanes on the beach somewhere. Sipping dark and stormies on the beach somewhere. What are some other tropical cocktails? I guess margarita. I of course put it out of my mind because I'm not a fan. Strawberry daiquiri, all the daiquiris. All the daiquiris. You got your strawberry daiquiri, you got your banana daiquiri, those are the most common. You might get like a mango daiquiri. I had a mango daiquiri recently.
Pineapple daiquiri.
In Mexico.
Mango. Pineapple. Is shit.
Yeah, my pineapple might be fine. All sorts of daiquiris. Anyway.
Those things in Key West with the
Oh yeah, those are the Slurpees with the grain alcohol. Yeah. I mean, it ought to be illegal.
You can get daiquiris there too, but you can also get grain alcohol Slurpees.
You can get grain alcohol Slurpees are pretty great. But the jippers. This is all to say, jippers.
Somewhere.
It's a fictional drink, but it's a tropical drink.
It's got the jip.
It's probably in that family. I don't know what that means, Jesse, but...
No, I don't know either.
But that's what I want to know. I want the audience, as we close out this podcast, I want the audience right in, and you let us know what you think would be in a jipper.
Mm.
Your ideal jipper. You don't got to necessarily...
Perhaps a bit of club soda.
It could be club soda, like Jesse's talking about. That's a perfectly reasonable thing to have in a cocktail. I mean, maybe it's going to be a weak cocktail. I don't know. Could it be like
some ginger?
Could it be like one of them? You know, like how a Long Island iced tea is basically all alcohol with a little splash of Coke or something.
Splash of Jenks.
Maybe a Jipper's that sort of thing.
Right. It's got a banana.
Yeah.
And a cherry.
Yeah. I mean, a banana and a cherry.
Mango juice.
Mango, yeah. And by the way, audience, when you write in, you're not limited to what Jesse's thrown out here, you know?
No, of course not.
There's many other ingredients that you could propose, and maybe we will try them out.
Yeah. A pickled tomato.
And when I say maybe, I mean, I will definitely try them out. I would like an excuse to play around with some new drinks.
A bit of asparagus.
It can be boring at the pool. I'm a little concerned about the direction Jesse's going in with the asparagus and the, what was it? The pickled tomatoes?
Pickled.
Because it wasn't just pickles. It was pickled tomatoes. I don't know that I've had pickled tomatoes.
I don't think that exists.
I have, I've had fried green tomatoes.
Yeah, those are good.
I like fried green tomatoes. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. The movie, the food, and the book, as the old saying goes. Secrets in the sauce. Yeah. Anyway, feedback at iscastartrek.com. Send us your Jippers recipes. Send us thoughts, comments, complaints. There may be a few.
Yeah,
a few. Go listen to Jesse and I talking about Fairhaven and Spirit Folk. You can search for it. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. But if you go to the website, itsgotstartrek.com, there's a search bar somewhere on there. And,
search bar.
You can type in Fairhaven, listen to our conversation. That was a fun one.
Totally.
Yeah. You know, or not, you know. It's
whatever floats your boat.
Whatever floats your boat. Precisely right. Next week.
Whatever blows your dress up.
Did you say whatever blows your dress up?
Yeah.
You mean like Marilyn Monroe?
Perhaps.
Walking across the strangely engineered grate in the city street.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What was the? No, okay. If you're a city planner, you can write in and let us know if that's a reasonable thing to have a grate that just sort of blows air up somewhere. Yeah, I'm just saying I've never encountered this.
It's like an old steam system in my
broad experience of a number of different cities of various sizes. Right. End of podcast. At It's Got Star Trek social media, feedback at It's Got Star Trek, itsgotstartrek.com. Dan's back next week. Deep Space Nine, Fascination.
B'Elanna's on it.
B'Elanna will be on it. Evidence, We're Dangerous.
Where would I stay?
What?
Thanks, Agamas.
Thanks, Agamas. Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm not jokingly.
I'm not jokingly. It's a good one. What are some other ones? Spocko.
Spocko.
That's not too common.
I don't get it.
These are our
holograms.
These are our messages. That's another new one. Tuvok. Doing the all right. Okay, we'll talk to you.
Fuck yeah.
We'll talk to you later. Goodbye.